Thanks so much, Peggy. And thanks to everyone who has made our service so far a really fun and special one. I think that theme that's coming through musically about beauty is really appropriate for all we're experiencing. And it's been really great. I'll do my best not to make it come to a screeching halt for the sermon today, right? That we'll keep it up a little bit. So we are having a really fun and kind of beautiful synthesis of the calendar today, because we're getting to celebrate Earth Day maybe a little bit of a week late, with enjoying Shannon's wonderful book, celebrating God as our creator, and being able to focus on how we can connect with God and caring for the creation that we've been given. And then, of course, we're participating in International Community Church Sunday to be able to connect with our spiritual siblings in the ICCC. And we can focus on this connection with other Christians and how we join in serving the whole world around us together. And we also have some powerful scriptures that emphasize for us how both of these amazing messages and opportunities to live our faith and following these values can be really life-giving for all of us. When I see these two things together and I think about how they relate together and complement each other, it makes me think of the mid-1800s American writer Henry David Thoreau. And you're seeing a portrayal of him from the show Dickinson, that came out a few years ago, and it imagines Emily Dickinson, who was a contemporary of his, wanting to go and meet him after reading his writing while he was going off to Walden Pond in the area of Massachusetts, and was becoming popular for this naturalist and romantic writing that he was a part of. And he did spend an extended period of time living, I'll say, alone in a cabin on Walden Pond and writing about his experience to try to connect more deeply with nature and learn about himself and humanity through that endeavor. Now, I'll mention alone because many people, you often read this, Thoreau is a common curriculum for education, like middle school, high school, and we read it, and he's kind of portrayed himself as being like, I went off in the woods and roughed it, and I was all by myself. And it turns out that it was a little bit different than that, and we'll talk about that more in just a second. But here's a couple of quotes from Thoreau that you may have heard or studied before, and that maybe you can see why I see those connections to both our Earth Day and the Psalm Scripture and ICCC and the Acts Scripture. One that he wrote was, "Nature is full of genius, it's full of the divinity, so that not a snowflake escapes its fashioning hand." And that, to me, sounds a lot like the sentiment in the Psalms that we read this morning, right? And another one, in talking about his effort to go and writing by Walden Pond, "I went to live in the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, to discover that I had not in fact lived." And I think that sense of choosing to live by a different set of values and to have a better relationship with the world around you can remind us a lot of the spirit of how the early church came together. The passage we read is right after Pentecost, and that's described in how they said, we want to be a different type of people. Let's see how we can come together and do things a little bit differently. And these are beautiful, romantic words. They give us a very beautiful and romantic vision of how to live in the world, especially from Thoreau, and that's how most people think of Henry David Thoreau. And the verses are this morning, too, the portrayal of God's creative action in Psalm, the picture of what a community was at their very genesis in Acts is really exciting. But it turns out, of course, that things are not that simple. As Corey showed in the first slide that we had up earlier, where Henry is saying it's laundry day. So Walden Pond was not as remote as you might have thought. It was in walking distance for his mother and sister, who turned out did most of his chores the entire time while he was riding on Walden Pond, getting his laundry, bringing him food and snacks and things like that, so he got to focus on his writing. And so his roughing it or his sense of solitude was maybe a little bit overstated. And then secondly, if we go to the other picture, it became very quickly a tourist attraction. I don't know how well you can tell, but like back in the corner, it basically looks like a beach party happening on the shores of Walden Pond there. And that's true. Like, at once he was starting to be published, people would come and they would hang out on Walden Pond, and it would basically be a tourist attraction. And so he wasn't very alone. All sorts of things were happening. And the story in Dickinson is that Emily comes to visit him with this idea, like, he'll help me be an amazing writer because look at his words, and he's living a life that just cultivates amazing creativity. And she gets there and she's like, oh, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And the thing is, this fact about Thoreau can kind of apply to our verses today too. If we read the rest of the book of Acts and then the letters of Paul, we see that very quickly, living together as a community, even when we are captivated by the amazing love of Jesus, it's pretty messy and difficult pretty fast. That the church started having conflict and people not knowing how to get along, and there was danger and difficulty. And so we didn't see that romantic idea of everybody was always get along and sharing everything that they had really easily, and there was never any difficulty. That bubble gets kind of punctured pretty quick in the book of Acts. And we don't just have to pick on Henry David Thoreau or those early Christians, because we know that it can be really complicated and messy and even toxic to try to hold together communities, especially when we want to have special values. We know how much discord can happen even between Christians. We see it in the world around us all the time, that we would hope that we'd be able to figure out to follow God and do better, but it's just part of the struggle of life and being human and even being the community of God, doing our best to follow that. And similarly, we can find nature to be really picturesque and beautiful, but it's not always everyone's favorite either. Aislinn will gladly tell you that she does not like being outside with the elements and the bugs and everything else, and that's true for some people. And also, when we think about taking care of creation and acknowledging it as good, as Shannon lifted up, that means often that we have to make choices that if we're going to ensure the vitality of the world around us, that we have to let go of things that are very comfortable, very convenient, very profitable for us and other people. And then that ends up where we have a lot of not so very romantic arguments with each other about how to balance out all those interests of how humans will thrive and how the world around us will thrive. And it takes work and effort to keep that up and figure out the best path forward. So the thing is, romantic and inspiring words and pictures often are a big part of helping us be willing and excited to try something that stretches us, to go after something new. Because it might be hard to go after something big or live out values that require sacrifice and change if we don't have that core foundational inspiration. It is important, and that's an important component of our faith too. The kingdom of God is an amazing, beautiful, romantic picture to be caught up in. But sometimes it can be true that we can get too caught up in the initial excitement or romanticism of something, whether it's having a beautiful community that believes in something, whether it's taking care of the earth even, and all of the complexity that that takes. And so if we find out that then the romanticism that we got excited about at first is not the whole picture of whatever we were excited about, or even maybe it was a bit of an embellishment like Henry David Thoreau, and then we run into the things that are like mundane, difficult, not glamorous, just the day-to-day of getting along with people who are different than you, of making sure that you're taking care of the earth that sometimes is really exciting, but sometimes is a little bit like drudgery or dirty or things like that. Like, we can end up getting disillusioned because the thing that it takes to persevere in something is not the same as what captured our imagination the first time. We don't want to lose that value or beauty that's there just because we now have the potential to focus on the negative. We could get discouraged and give up because things turn out to be different than we expected. And that can be quite a catch-22, because if disillusionment happens, then often we can't get to that beautiful goal that we had in the first place and that captured our imagination, because it's hard to persevere when you're focusing on things that don't seem exciting. And so, building beloved community, cooperating and cultivating God's amazing creation, it can end up feeling impossible, or we can let the ball drop even if we would like to see those things come to fruition. And so what I hope we can do in acknowledging even those types of facts today, in wanting to focus on the beauty, but being honest about things that can be more complicated, is that then, if we don't have them just be romantic and inspiring, but we see the full truth, we see the things to persevere in, that we also won't be discouraged or let hope or inspiration fade, because we'll see God walking daily with us through all of the things that it really takes. And so we won't let things fall by the wayside just because our initial romanticism didn't persist on its own. I actually think that seeing the truth of how these things really are and how God really moves in them with us, past that initial romanticism and getting into the muck of even the boring and difficult parts, actually is what will help us persevere and experience the fullness of a promise that these things have, of beautiful community, the fullness of taking care of the earth and seeing it thrive in everything. that we'll get to experience that more because we're getting more than just the rose-colored glasses parts. It'll help us not give up when things are a little bit difficult, and we'll get all the way there to all that God has to offer. It may not be romantic, but it's definitely substantive and beautiful in its own way. And our verses actually do reveal this to be the case if we look at them a little bit deeper. In Psalm 65, in particular in verses 9 and 10, I think we have a really amazing, unique picture of God's role as creator. There are, throughout this chapter of the Psalms, really romantic, beautiful, powerful descriptions of nature and God's role in connecting with it and creating it. But there's also stuff that's listed here that is the daily, unglamorous types of things. It says God tends to the soil and to plants. For those of us who have worked in the garden, we know it can be really fun, but it's also getting dirty, bending over, picking at things, you know, making sure that they're getting bugs out of the way. Like, tending is not always glamorous, but it does make a difference and bring about beauty. Even in something like watering, that's another tedious task, or even with God bringing rain, we don't always feel super positive about rain. A lot of times we get a little bit bitter about how we'd rather have the sun and everything else, but that's part of what God gets involved in. And similarly, what it takes to make furrows and to put down ridges that's described in the psalm, that is hard labor. We're going to do some digging of trenches to help with some infrastructure of the garden. It's not going to be easy, but it's important, and it's part of what it means to fully cultivate. And so we see God even going through the tedious types of work. It's not romantic, but it gives it powerful meaning. It takes time. It includes getting to overcome struggle. We get to notice small and seemingly unimportant things when we get that close to what is happening. But then we actually get more beauty and more impact. And the fact that the psalm shows that God gets involved that way, not just the big, dramatic, romantic stuff that God does, but that God's even in like the daily grind with us, and that God's collaborating with us in that. That shows that connecting us with the earth this way, working together with other people the way that God works with us, and that being invited by God. So even those things that seem like there'll be a pain, that there'll be drudgery, God does them so that they have more powerful meaning and beauty for us to be involved with too. And Acts 2 shows what community starts to look like when we try to be different than the corrupt aspects of our generation. And that's true of any generation. It said there, save yourselves from the corrupt generation. They found a way to look different, to live differently than most of the people around them were. And it brought camaraderie to be able to work together on something. It was exciting and romantic to them at first, I'm sure. But we also see that what it looked like to save themselves from the corrupt generation was deeper and, again, more daily and regular than just what was dramatic. It included listening to teaching. And it's fine if some of you are like, yeah, Rob, I know that listening to teaching can sometimes be boring. See, you can get me on it, but it's still an object lesson in this case. Sharing meals, not always, those wouldn't have always been like super fancy, you know, like five-star restaurant meals, and we know that that takes a lot of work for some of the people to be able to do that. Prayer can be amazing to connect with God, but we know that the daily rhythms of a prayer life sometimes are very high, and sometimes like they take discipline and able to do it. And also the idea of letting go of your own things so that you can share with others. This is often less heroic than it seems. It's one thing to be able to throw out a bunch of money and get your name on the wing of a hospital or something like that. It's another thing to say, I will actually give up what I have and let it be someone else's. And then I can't get glory. I can't get as much for myself. But I can make sure that things for everyone are working better. It's beautiful, but that's different than the grand romanticism. So over time, the rhythms of this feel normal and mundane. Little conflicts arise like we see in the rest of the books. The book of Acts, and we have to persevere through those little things and get over disagreements and instead of escalating them because we want to be able to say, no, I was part of that amazing first community. I know everything there is to know about God, so I'll tell you that you're wrong and I'll make the problem and the argument even worse instead of trying to get along with it and be humble myself. Ultimately, trying to go for the romantic and the miraculous all the time ends up actually often creating rifts and rivalries and distractions because we're going after power and glory. And that happened for the church in Acts, and it happens throughout history. The true miracle that God has done in God's people throughout all of these centuries and even millennia is that God keeps calling the church back to simple, normal, regular rhythms of life together, like listening to each other, like sharing with each other, like being willing to be giving and generous, like reconciling even when it's difficult and painful and requires humility. That's ultimately when we're the healthiest and we are the most true expression of God's kingdom. I'm really glad that we're celebrating ICCC Sunday today as part of this, because actually they're an amazing example of how we can see this lesson continually lived out, and then that way we can continue to be encouraged to persevere as well. In the materials for the special Sunday today, they highlighted that this is actually the 100-year anniversary of the first formal organization of the community church movement. In 1923, national meetings were first held for community churches to come together so that they could fellowship and network and share new resources. But they highlight in the materials that even at that time, when we would be excited about this new movement that's starting and how beautiful that it is, it wasn't utopian. That it is true that the community church movement was working within the racism of its day, because primarily Caucasian churches all gathered together, and primarily African-American churches all gathered together. And there wasn't togetherness and reconciliation in that first iteration. But then God began to call people who had at least that spirit of, we want to serve the community, we want to connect with other people. And through history, going forward from the Depression to World War II, and even in the middle of Jim Crow America and the Civil Rights Movement, those churches decided it's not good that we're separate anymore. We want to come together. And so that took the daily grind. That took setting some things aside. That took a willingness to have a different type of vision that was exciting and beautiful, but that was going to require the day-to-day work of getting along with people and learning to be together even when we're different, of being different than the world around us. That was not always going to be easy, but that's what would ultimately bring transformation. And that's an amazingly powerful thing that we can say we are a part of the legacy of, and that we want to continue to be as well. That as we connect with each other and make sure that we are full of reconciliation, as we continue to reconcile and serve the community around us and not just focus on ourselves, that's an amazingly powerful vision. But we are willing to be honest and say it's not always easy, it's sometimes painful, it sometimes requires work and humility, but it's worth it anyway. And God helps it be meaningful and powerful in every single aspect, from the most romantic and dramatic, and even the things that are the day-to-day grind. So it's this type of history, these types of reminders, that are what it really looks like to live in the powerful, beautiful, transformative goals of salvation life that God invites us into. As we saw in the Psalms, even God's amazingly powerful role as creator includes a sense of entering into the normal, boring, daily parts of things as they grow. God persevered with the early church through both its most miraculous moments and its weakest, messiest times when it was trying to figure things out. And God still continues to do this to this day. He helps us not only cast off or avoid the things that don't seem romantic enough, but that God helps us transform all the way through them so that we can come to true, holistic life on the other side. Because the thing is, if I want to truly see our society, our culture, and even all of creation around us be full of salvation, full of transformation that comes with God's kingdom, I have to be honest. I have to be ready to deal with all of the romantic stuff that is a part of that change actually happening. God can help us figure out how to deal with conflict healthily. God can help us reconcile with each other, even though it's often a pain. And God shows us how to be sacrificial and loving and generous, so that we can be that way in following God and ensure that all people and all of nature and all of creation is able to thrive, even if that means that part of it is making choices that aren't all about us, but about what God's holistic kingdom includes and the thriving of everyone and everything. It does and will take some grinding. It's not always glamorous. It's often challenging and even painful. It's not just romantic. But I do believe that it is true. I do believe that it is transformative. It is substantive and saving. It is a truly beautiful life that God invites us to be a part of. And I hope that we can join in it together with each other, with the community around us, with our sibling churches in the ICCC and the NACCC, and everyone else who wants to live in those values to care for the earth and care for everyone around them. And I look forward to doing that together with you. We'll start in that spirit and offering ourselves and our resources in a time of offering.